The 17th of December, we have zero fantasy content happening today, but we're going to do a show anyway. Joining me will be Noah Rubin. We'll talk about the Atlanta Hawks and the fact that they're not in the in-season tournament final, which is disappointing for everyone. And just saw the new All-Star format. We'll have a quick chat about that and take some viewer questions if you have any questions. This is the Tuesday pregame show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I am your host, Adam King. Find me on Twitter at AdamKing91 and on Blue Sky at AdamKing91.bsky.social. We are on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere, everywhere. Please go and subscribe. We are part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter. Joined today by Noah Rubin. At Noah Rubin 22. I'm sure everyone knows that, but I'll say it anyway. Noah, this was very rushed, but here we are. How's things? A week out from Christmas, a week for me, almost for you, a week out from Christmas. How are things in the Rubin household?
Busy. Times are getting busy as the holidays just are like that. Obviously, a lot of fun. We'll be traveling to see family around Christmas, which will be good, but there's obviously a lot of prep that goes into that, a lot of gifts to be purchased and wrapped and plans to be made, but it's all fun. I think having a little bit of a slower basketball schedule has helped this in-season tournament stretching out the way that it has. Is a little different from last year, but I think it's been pretty nice to get some breathers. I'll be blurbing the game tonight, which will be, you know, a pretty nice, relaxed shift for me. So I'm excited.
Yeah, no, it has. It's frustrating for fantasy managers having these days with no basketball or only one game, that sort of thing. And it makes the schedule very wonky and weird. But yeah, as you said, from an analyst perspective, it's been quite a nice, relaxed week or two. And yes, I'm blurbing the game tonight as well.
Nice.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I don't know. Let's start with the Hawks, I suppose. I'm wearing my Hawks jersey just as a shout out to Atlanta. And I actually was thinking about, as I was putting this jersey on, and it's a Sharif Abdul-Rahim jersey too. I was thinking I don't tend to buy a lot of jerseys anymore. I've got quite a good collection, but I only buy them if I really like the jersey or the player or whatever. I sort of need to get a Dyson Daniels one, don't I?
Yeah, my mom was asking me, like, what can we get you for Christmas? And I was like, I mean, if you wanted to get me anything Hawks, you know, I like the Hawks. And if you wanted to get me any player-specific things, then, like, Dyson Daniels and Jalen Johnson are the guys that I would go for. So, yeah, if I don't get something Dyson Daniels for Christmas, then I will probably be making a purchase late December, early January to get something Dyson Daniels. I've been doing less jerseys, more like t-shirts, and not even like jersey t-shirts, just like some sort of thing. Like I have like a Tyrese Halliburton one that's, I forgot the name of the brand, but it's just, actually I think it's the same brand as this one I'm wearing right now, but this is just a Denver Nuggets one. This is obviously not a Denver Nuggets
player.
But just that style of thing where it's not really a jersey. So something Dyson Daniels, we'll see if I can find something. But yeah, I would say you need a Dyson Daniels jersey for sure.
Yeah, I do. And I doubt very much we'd be able to get them here. The jerseys we can get here in Australia are pretty limited. So I may have to get someone who lives in Atlanta, not mentioning any names, I may have to order one online from the store, have it delivered to said person's house, and said person can bring it to Las Vegas. Anyway, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Hypothetically speaking.
Hypothetically, sure, of course, yeah. It's asking
anything
for
Dyson, you know?
Yeah, that's right. okay, So yes, the Hawks aren't in the in-season tournament final. But I thought, like, I know the start to the season, that it's been a weird one for Atlanta, because they, I know they've lost to, I think, Washington twice, maybe, or they've lost games that they absolutely should win, but then they've beaten the teams that they shouldn't probably win. As an Atlanta fan, how do you think their season has gone to this point?
I think it's been encouraging. It's very much an Atlanta sports thing that they have been two of Washington's three wins, but have also beaten Cleveland twice and Boston twice, and just have had success against good teams. So that's very much an Atlanta sports thing, to play really well against good teams and make you feel like, wow, like, this team's playing better than we expected. And then they play a crappy team and they just don't show up, because they have other like, they've lost to Portland, they've lost to Detroit. So it's like just things like that are just so annoying. But I think it's been encouraging in the sense that Dyson Daniels and Jalen Johnson being as good as they have been, and Trae Young not playing his best basketball, and yet they've still been a very, like, a pretty good team. And then the, like, Clint Capella has been their best center, which has been a little bit annoying, because kind of hoping Okongwu would take over, but that hasn't been the case. And Capella hasn't been incredible, but he's been the best option they have at center. So I think it's encouraging that they have been able to beat some good teams. My expectation is still for them to be a play-in team and probably lose in the first round in five games. But I think it's the fact that all these young guys are playing well is really encouraging long-term.
Yeah, and they are sitting, at the moment, they're sitting in the seventh spot, but they're above 500. I wouldn't say, like, if you look at the teams above them, they're not going to catch Cleveland, they're not going to catch Boston. I don't think they'll catch New York, unless New York, if New York suffer one or two injuries for, like, significant, like, multiple weeks, they could drop down the standings, because we know that their rotation is not deep at all. But relying on injuries, obviously, is not something we want to be doing. So they probably don't catch New York. I think Milwaukee look like they might push inside the top four in the East. They could catch Orlando, especially as Orlando are still without. I know they've been playing well and staying afloat, but still without Franz, still without Paolo. But Miami haven't been spectacular. So Atlanta, I think, could push to the sixth seed if they continue to play well, which would, I guess, ideally what you want to try and do is avoid Cleveland and Boston in the first round. Although Atlanta have beaten them. So beating them four times out of seven is probably...
That's different,
a lot to ask, and especially playoffs and rotations change and teams step things up. But I think if they could push into the sixth seed and come up against the Knicks, by that time Tom Thibodeau will have run his guys dead into the ground. So you never know. You never know. But I do...
Trae Young in New York. I mean, another playoff series like that, I think that would be... Ideally, if we're talking about NBA, like, ratings, which I know that none of us particularly care about, but it would be, I think, good to have the Hawks playing in New York for potentially four out of seven games, and just seeing the drama that unfolds with that. And with the Heat, you know, if Jimmy Butler gets traded or something like that, maybe they slide a little bit. Well, yeah, I think six is definitely possible, but they're also only 4.5 games ahead of Philly, and if Philly gets healthy, which is obviously a big if, then I mean, they're a top six team for sure. And, like, they'll be at least in the play-in tournament. Not too concerned about that, even if it's been a pretty abysmal start to the year.
Yeah, Philly have been a bit rough, obviously, but if they do get healthy, things will change. So for the in-season tournament tonight, no fantasy value. So I know there are still some people who probably aren't sure, but tonight's game does not count towards fantasy in the majority of platforms. I think maybe it does in there was something in one of our group chats.
Sleeper,
yep.
Josh had tweeted it out that Sleeper is counting it, but they are the only ones.
Yeah, yep. So, ESPN, Yahoo... Fan tracks, no. It's just enjoy the game, which I find that hard to do sometimes because I'm always just watching specific players rather than teams. And I get annoyed when, Trae Young makes a pass to Clint Capela and Capela misses the shot because I think, damn, that was an assist. He misses that assist now. Anyway,
you see that quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah. So just watch the game. Enjoy the game.
Yeah.
Who's going to win, Bucks or Thunder?
I was talking to Raph about this like about an hour ago when we were doing the Roto World Q&A. When we made our picks last week with Dan Titus, I said that the Bucks were going to win. I'm pretty sure I said over the Thunder because Torian Prince and Darvin Ham have yet to lose an NBA Cup game. That's not going to start because they're okay. Because they're just the NBA Cup Kings. So we'll see if that ends up. That obviously like literally doesn't matter. If I was just picking the game, I would pick the Thunder, but I'm going to stick with my narrative because that's what I picked at the beginning.
Yeah. I picked the Thunder. So far I've picked the winners, the quarterfinal, semifinal, and final. I've gone for the Thunder. But you know, it's a final, it's one game. The Thunder have looked very, very good, but it only takes Shea to have one off game. Giannis has been very good. Middleton surely has to get better at some point. He's been pretty bad. I don't know. I'm looking forward to watching the game. I have no idea what time it even tips off.
8:30 p.m. Eastern time. Okay.
All right. So about midday for me. So that's,
yeah.
That's good. I can sit and have a bit of lunch and watch it. So looking forward to it. And then no games tomorrow, obviously a weird sort of rest day before we get back into how many games on Thursday? I feel like there's a lot. 13 games. Awesome. So today is a nice day for blurbing. Thursday is not.
Exactly.
For yourself and for anyone else that's writing up games on Thursday. Now, the NBA All-Star game, just before we came on air, I happened across upon something on Twitter, and you'd already seen it, obviously. They have announced the format for the All-Star game, All-Star, I guess, festivities. It does look a little bit different. We knew this was coming. So 24 NBA players are selected. That doesn't change. But instead of two teams, it's divided into three teams of eight. That alone I like because it means we're going to see the guys on the court more because the rotations are not 12, they're eight. So those guys that are picked as the last player, second last player, they're going to play minutes because it's an eight-man rotation, not a 12-man rotation. So I like that. There will be a fourth team then involved in the tournament, which is a Rising Stars team, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm going off memory what I saw in that post. The GMs or the coaches or whoever of the teams are Charles Barkley, Shaq, who's the third?
Kenny Smith, and then Candace Parker is the one for the Rising Stars team.
Yeah, okay. So they're the four GMs of the teams. There's two matchups, so team one versus team two, team three versus team four. Two winners play in the final. Then there's a winner. The games are first to 40. Did I get that right?
I think so. Sounds right.
We think so? Yeah. All
right. That's what I understood. Yeah. I think my expectation was going to be that was the winner of the Rising Stars games the day before was going to be the team that played, but seems more like Candace Parker is going to be the GM and maybe she's drafting from the teams that played the day before, unless you're reading it differently.
Yeah, no, so I've just found it up on Blue Sky. So the fourth team is the Rising Stars champion. So the team that wins the Rising Stars the night before will then play on All-Star Sunday in the against the NBA team. So I like that concept. as well. Rising Stars is first year and second year players. Is that still the case?
Wait, say that one more time. Sorry.
The Rising Stars teams are picked from first and second year players.
Yes. I don't think that has changed.
No. Okay. All right. So that's, yeah, that hasn't changed. So that'll be fun. No. Some of these guys, obviously, we've talked about the fact that this year's rookie class isn't the strongest rookie class we've seen in a while. So, but it'll still be good to see them on the big stage playing alongside last year's draft class, which was a pretty strong one. So that'll be good.
I know in the past, I'm trying to remember because the Rising Stars is not the thing that I keep up with the most out of all of the NBA. But I know in the past it's been kind of similarly formatted to what this year's All-Star game is, where it's three Rising Stars team and then like a team of, well, I guess they wouldn't do that with the G League Ignite not being a thing anymore. So I'm not sure exactly how that changes. Maybe like some sort of other team that's not just like a strictly Rising Stars team. It's like non-NBA players, but I don't know if that's sticking around or if it would just be four Rising Stars teams this year. But I think maybe that's what it was last year anyway. I'm trying to remember. I don't know.
Yeah, it might be that they pick the, so three sort of, well, rookie sophomore teams, and then the fourth team might just be a G League select team. Maybe they just pick the eight best players from the G League this year.
Yeah. Well, I guess looking back at the roster from last year for that team, it was a couple of Ignite players, including Ron Holland, Tyler Smith, Manus Bouzelis, and then some other just really good G League guys like Imani Bates, Mac McClung, Oscar Shibue, guys like that. So.
Yeah. So that's what, and I like that too, because that gives us an opportunity to see some guys that are potentially 28, 29 that are still in the G League trying to get an NBA contract. So it's a really nice opportunity for them to to get onto the on national TV, international TV, and show what they can do. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I like the I don't know how this will work. I'm hoping that it makes it more competitive. I did enjoy watching it, the Rising Stars Challenge last year with this format. So they seemed to want to win, like it seemed more competitive, and that's obviously what they're trying for with this now moving this across to the actual All-Star game. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes, but I'm glad that they are trying to change it up. All right, now we'll take questions. There's a couple in there. If we get more, we do. If we don't, then I'll go and have breakfast and you can go and wait for your patio guy.
Yeah.
If you were to drop Draymond or Schroeder, who would you choose in a nine-category league? So this is, I mean, I guess a broader question is, what were your thoughts on the Schroeder trade? And where does Schroeder fit into this rotation in Golden State now?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember because I definitely saw different tweets about things, which I don't remember sources, so I don't know exactly how legit things are. But I know that there was one that said that the Warriors were planning to start him at point guard alongside Steph in the backcourt. We'll see if that ends up happening. There was another one that was, they were potentially looking at swinging his contract to in another deal to bring in a star. And this is just me connecting the dots here, but the Heat, there was reports that they were interested more in players than picks they were going to trade Jimmy Butler. So maybe the Warriors trade Schroeder and some other guys to bring in Jimmy Butler. Entirely speculation on my part, but if it ends up being that Dennis Schroeder just sticks around in Golden State and they make other trades and he's just part of their team, he's not going to be what he was in Brooklyn. I think he's still probably a rosterable player if he's starting, but that also may be something that Steve Kerr changes because he has been known to do that. But I think it's a good move for the Nets to, I feel like they could have gotten more value with how well he's playing. But it was a good move for them to stop playing competitive basketball. So, and do it by trading away and getting value back for the guys that are playing well. I hope they continue to do that because that's the smart move. For the Warriors, they needed more talent to really compete. They had a really hot start, but they're not going to win a championship with what they had at the beginning of the year. Schroeder's just the start. I expect them to make more moves. As far as answering this question, I think it's tough and it's very category dependent, which is probably my cop-out answer for every time one of these questions gets asked. But if you need more of the defensive stats, then I'd probably be dropping Schroeder, keeping Draymond. If you need more points or threes, I'd keep Schroeder. If you need more defensive stats, you keep Draymond. If you need more points or threes, you drop. You keep Schroeder. Goodness gracious. But they're both pretty good at assists. Draymond, obviously, a little bit better. Rebounds as well.
So I guess, and that's a fair answer. Like, it is, because they do bring different skill sets to the table. I guess maybe the better question is, do you think either of them, both of them, or neither, are must roster players in 12-team leagues? Do they both need to be rostered in your eyes, or are they expendable?
I don't, maybe not like a must roster player, but I think they're definitely rosterable. I think it could depend on your league and who else is available. And would probably be able to give, I'd probably be able to give a better answer based on that. Cause if it's like, oh, there's nobody else in the waiver wire I'd rather have, then it may just be best to just stick with them kind of thing. Is I think they will both play big roles, whether they're coming off the bench or starting for the Warriors.
Yeah, I think so. But as you said, I think the Warriors, they probably view their championship window. It's obviously getting smaller every year because Curry is getting a year older every year, right. and Draymond's getting older. And so to me, if they want to win, which I think they probably do, Schroeder is not the key to winning a title.
So he helps, but
he helps. He helps, but there'd have to be more moves to come. I don't think they would be of the opinion of, we've got Schroeder now, we're good, we're set, we're going to challenge Boston, we're going to challenge the Thunder, because that, I just don't think that's the case. So yes, I agree. I think both are sort of probably should be rostered by someone in a 12-team league. It is a little bit dependent on what stats you need on your team and your build and that sort of thing. But and for Brooklyn, I guess there was a lot of chatter once this trade went down, and we knew Melton was coming back to Brooklyn and he's not going to play. Who are the adds? I thought Ben Simmons, he looked okay yesterday, but probably the most encouraging thing was the fact that he played over 30 minutes. I didn't think that would happen, and it did. So for me, he is probably the priority just based on what we saw yesterday, but I also don't think that what the Nets rolled out yesterday is going to be, okay, this is our rotation moving forward. And I think it's going to be just a whole lot of guys doing stuff, and whoever is playing well on any given night will be given the opportunity to play more minutes. Shake Milton was someone that I picked up. He only played 17 minutes, but he also fouled out. He could come out and play 28 minutes in the next game. Who would be a preferred pickup in your eyes, or is it just a case of rolling a dice and hoping that you land on the right player on any given night?
I think the two names you mentioned are the priorities, but I do think this is going to be a pretty difficult team to figure out consistent, like guys you can rely on consistently. Maybe we'll have a better idea after the trade deadline, but I think there will be some guys that play well that end up going down with injury. It's just going to be one of those teams that are just difficult to manage. But the Shake Milton point about him fouling out, that was important. And I didn't even realize that because I hadn't been keeping up with that game. So that's definitely important if he's playing. I've only played 17 minutes. So I think my advice when I was talking with Raph about it was, don't drop him yet, even if you only played 17 minutes, because we'll watch for a few more games. And if he had a good reason why he only played that much, then yeah, definitely. So those two, but I don't feel like really good about anyone on the team at this point.
Yeah. It's tough. I wouldn't, if you picked up anyone yesterday, don't drop them based off that performance, especially knowing that on Thursday there are 13 games. And so, you can just leave, like Shake Milton, I'll leave him. I'll just put him on my bench and see what happens because I don't need to stream. Chances are not many people will need to stream with 13 games. So it does almost give you a free look at anyone that night. All right, a couple more and then we'll get out of here. Do we think Cade Cunningham makes the All-Star team this season? Third in triple doubles. He's been very good. Detroit obviously haven't been great. I think they've looked better than they have in the last couple of years. But Cade, I think, has been a real talking point when you look at Detroit as a whole. He's been relatively healthy. He's putting up numbers on a nightly basis. Do you think he's done enough on a bad team to make the All-Star game?
I do. I think it probably doesn't hurt without like actually going down a full roster of what that would look like of the 12 representatives from the East. But Franz and Paolo both missing a nice chunk of time probably helps his case a little bit because both those guys have been really good when they're on the floor. But if they've only played a certain amount of games, maybe that impacts their chances. Tyrese Halliburton hasn't been as good this year as he has been the past couple of years. Obviously, Philly's had their share of injuries. Scottie Barnes has been out a good bit. LaMelo's missed time. So I think he does make the All-Star game. And I don't want to just harp on the injury points as he doesn't deserve it, but he's just going to get in because I think he deserves to make the All-Star team. The fact that they are currently in the play-in conversation definitely helps. So, yeah, I do.
Okay. Yeah. And I think he should. There's often a few selections which we don't all agree with. But yeah, we'll see. I certainly think that he has played well enough to make that team. And then Chad, so this is a question, something you must have spoken about on your, as you said, on the Roto World mailbag show. The punt field goal percentage. Oh, okay. Do you take the lead on this one?
Yeah. He was talking about a good target to trade Darius Garland for because he has a punt points and punt field goal percentage build. And first, I told him that's kind of an interesting build because it's like you feel like if you're punting points, usually you're going to go for a high field goal percentage, or if you're going for points, then you're fine punting field goal percentage. So it's pretty interesting. But he was looking for a player to trade Garland, which it explains maybe the field goal percentage wasn't something he was intending to punt, but because he has those guys, he just kind of has to punt it. But some of the targets we talked about were guys like Jaren Jackson Jr., Amen Thompson, who isn't, doesn't have an atrocious field goal percentage, but is, he actually has a pretty good one, but a lot of his impact isn't from points. So yeah, but thank you for the added context that helps a little bit.
Yeah, I think I had a Garland question on my show yesterday. I can't remember what it was, but yeah, he's been another player that's, I think, been good this year for the Cavs. Okay, well, good. Good you were able to. Now, this question here, I was reading through it. 1 to 10, crazy scale, sending your first round pick for a player for every year you have them on your roster. I get Wemby. I send my first for every year I have Wemby. I can't get my head around that. Can you?
Yeah. Sam, I'm not trading you Wemby in the Tank Me Later Dynasty League, but sending your first round pick for a player every year. So it'd be like I give you Wemby and you give me your first round pick this year. And then if you traded him, then I wouldn't get your first round pick the year after that. But as long as he's on your team, I continue to get your first round pick. So if you have him for 5 years and I get five firsts, okay. And then if you ended up trading him in 2031, then I have gotten every first until you trade him away. Yeah. I think on a scale of 1 to 10, how crazy that is, I would say 7, maybe 7.5. I mean, like you're getting into the crazier side of things, Sam, because you're not going to be able to have, especially in a large league, a lot of people agree on that happening. Because then it's also you could potentially just like totally just destroy someone in a trade by saying, okay, yeah, sure, I'll give you every first I have as long as Wemby is on my team, and then flip Wemby for what's more like fair value, and then you're just like probably losing a trade pretty handily. Anyways, that's where my thought goes. I would definitely exploit you in that, Sam.
yeah, that is a bit it's interesting. Look, I love it when people do try to come up with new ideas and theories and, yeah, and strategies. So yeah, look, Chad says that he's been hounding the Thompson Twins manager and thinking around sniffing around Eason.
Oh yeah,
as well. Yeah,
love all those guys in Dynasty.
Yeah, yeah. All right, that was good. Now I'm actually doing a Dynasty draft at the moment. We're doing an old man squad contributor league. Nice. And we're drafting. So I'm going to give you're the Dynasty expert. So I'm going to give you a very quick rundown of my team and see what you think. And make sure that I'm not on the clock. No, I'm not on the clock. Okay, that's good. So 12-team league, I'm picking at 9.
Okay.
Pick 9. And I've gone so far. So I'm punting. So I'm punting
blocks. 7 categories.
Categories. I only need one category to win. So I'm punting. Yeah, and Chad is in this draft as well.
Nice.
Yeah, so I'm punting big man stats. So I'm punting blocks, I'm punting rebounds, I'm punting field goal percentage. So I'm going guard heavy, guard stats. So I want points, threes, assists, steals, free throws.
Yeah.
And it's free throws made, not free throw percentage. So that's
okay.
One sort of key.
So you went Dyson Daniels round one, right?
I did not get Dyson Daniels. Where did he go? Hang on. It was third round reversal. Dyson went. Oh, where is he? Surely he's above. Why can't I see him? Why can't I see Dyson? Where is he? Where did he go?
He's still available?
No, surely. No, he wouldn't be. Chad probably knows.
He does.
Oh, he got him. Yeah, that's. Oh, there. Okay, so he went 6th pick of the 4th round.
Okay.
So what's that like 40-ish? Yeah. So yes, I did not get him. I would have taken him if he was available. I had the 9th pick of the 4th round. I thought he might get back to me, and of course he didn't. Anyway, my team so far. So I took Cade Cunningham at pick 9.
Nice.
And pretty happy with how he's played since I made that pick. I took LaMelo Ball with my 2nd pick. So I got him with the 4th pick of the 2nd round. Pretty happy about that as well.
Yeah, I think if you flip those guys, it's probably more in line with what Dynasty rankings typically would look like. So that's, fine value for Cade, maybe a couple picks higher than what would typically be, but getting both of those guys, it's really good.
So happy with them. Then I took Brandon Miller. I don't have him anywhere. I've liked what I've seen from him. Two Charlotte players is maybe not ideal, but I do like Charlotte. I took Devin Vassell with the 9th pick of the 4th round, so I'm okay with that. And part of the reasoning here was that I'm just trying to fill out my roster spots in a dynasty league. You sort of have to have them all filled. So Brandon Miller, Devin Vassell are both forward eligible. I then had to get, I felt like I've got to get a center because in my build, ideally I wouldn't draft a center, but I need one. I took Zion. very risky having him and LaMelo, but free throws made. Zion does get to the line. When he's healthy, that's the caveat here. So I took Zion. Then I took Jordan Poole, Austin Reeves, Herb Jones, and Julius Randle. So I've kept bulk of my sort of starting lineup under the age of 25. So kept them relatively young. And then I've gone a little bit older with Herb Jones and Julius Randle. So that's my team anyway, which we'll see how it goes. I obviously need Zion to come back eventually. That'd I don't know if that's going to happen.
I like it.
All right. Oh, and this must be Chad. Okay. So, Chad took Meesey.
Wow, everyone's vying for New Orleans Pelicans players. You don't see that often.
No, you do not. Yes. So he took Misi in the eighth round, sixth pick of the eighth round, because he was worried I was going to take him. Yeah. And I will need to get about another center. But I'm disappointed I didn't get.
Wait, was Zion your center, or did you say someone else and I missed it?
No, Zion's my center.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I'd say you definitely need to get another center.
I will, because he's not even playing. So I don't know. Well, I'm not going to say on here who I'm going to get, because Chad's watching and he'll take whoever I'm going to get. But let's just say the center pool is running a little thin now.
I imagine.
Especially when I'm looking at guys that fit my build. Anyway, that was way off topic. We don't need to talk about that anymore. All right, I'm going to let you go. I've got someone coming to look at something in my house too very shortly, so I need to go and greet them. What's going on with you over at Roto World? Very busy there. Quick plug, and then I'll let you go.
Yeah, same old, two columns a week. I'm working on trying to get this one out before the day ends. I think having a slower night will help a little bit. Just some rookies that have been playing well, and I might take a look at this next draft class on Thursday, and then the weekly Q&A with Raf and I on Tuesdays, I think. We actually just made that decision that we'll pick back up after the new year, because the next two Tuesdays are Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. And then the weekly Roto World basketball show with me, Raf, and Dan Titus. We're going to do that tomorrow. And then the next week, adjusted schedule for Christmas. I think it'll come out a little bit earlier than typical. But yeah, that's what I got going on. And then a lot of blurbs.
A lot of blurbs. All right, go and follow Noah, Twitter, and Blue Sky. Same handle for you on both, I think, isn't it? At Noah Rubin 22. So go and follow him, and follow me, follow FBI, follow Roto World, follow, I don't know, who do I, Roto Wire, I work for them, Roto Baller, work for them. So follow everyone.
Anything
with Roto, just follow it. Yep, that's right. That will do. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Given there were no games, it was always good to have people watching along.
Yeah.
Enjoy the in-season tournament final today. Enjoy the day off tomorrow, and then the crazy schedule that we've got on Thursday. The pregame show is going to be nuts that day. So, yeah, enjoy a couple of rest days, as we will be doing. I am Adam King. He is Noah Rubin. This has been the Balls Deep pregame show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.